Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
What's our responsibility as believers, as followers of Christ? Today, Pastor Joel continues the teaching series entitled Examining Your Investment Portfolio. Let's listen as Pastor Joel shares what God expects from us as believers according to His Word.
The devil doesn't care how you go out and visit places without accountability. He wants you not to have accountability. He doesn't care how much Bible trivia you know. He cares that you're not doing what God wants you to do. He cares that you're not doing the basics of obedience, which is to assemble yourself first. You see what I mean? This is what we have to understand, church. Oh, I know. It's quiet up in here. But I know it's quiet out there. It's quiet on YouTube, and it's quiet and because these are things that we have to talk about. Devil don't want us to know this. Okay? He doesn't want us to do these things. Okay? So he's not going to send you out without presbytery oversight or your pastors giving the okay or knowing about where you are. The Bible tells us that they pray for your souls. So you know they're supposed to know. If you got a ministry somewhere, they're going to know about it. They may not ever show up at that ministry, but they know about it. You see what I mean? Because the Lord has ordained it. So these are the things that we have to think about. This is clearly understood if we go there. Let's go here and you'll see what I mean. Let's go to Ephesians 4. And I'm sure you all may have read this before. Let's read it together. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. Pastor, can you read that for us? Now listen to this here and see if it doesn't make sense.
Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16 tells us, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love."
Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for reading all that for me. You got such a clear voice. That's good. That's a mouthful. We usually don't read the whole thing. But do you understand that? Does that make sense? Obviously, the text explains to us that he himself, meaning Jesus Christ, it says that he himself gave some. He himself, being Jesus Christ, has seen fit basically to provide a blueprint, an SOP, a standard operating procedure for his church. And his church, meaning every individual church. This doesn't mean that you just go to any church. It means that you go to the church where he sent you. Why? Because you're on this team. If all the churches are like the NFL, that means each church is a team. If you're a Raider, you don't show up in Green Bay. If you're a 49er, you don't show up in Tennessee with the Titans. You better not. You go in the league where you play. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, why we act like we don't understand? And just say, we can go where we want to go. No, you can't. You can go where the devil tells you to go. You can go where your mind tells you to go. But God didn't tell you to go there. Because it's right here. You can go where your emotions tell you to go. You can go where they make you feel good. You can go where they make you feel la-di-da and give you a hot toddy. But the Lord is saying, you need to go where I tell you to go. It's right here. He said, I myself, Jesus, he himself, sent some to be. Right here. This is so good. That's why when you're confused, go to the word, y'all, and read this word and digest the word. It's saying right there. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I can't say no more. We're done. Can we go? Look, it's saying right here. Come on, that makes so much sense. Right there. From whom the whole body joined and knit together. Doesn't that sound like a team? Doesn't that sound like I might have to block for Karen? I might have to stand in for Pastor Annalisa. I might have to do something for Liz. Brother Ron might have to show up and give a word to Sister Michelle. Sister Alma might have to be here to uplift Sister Elwanda. See, we're a team. It says it right here. From whom the whole body joined, knit together by what each joint supply. You supply something, you are a joint in the body. Why are we looking so disjointed if we're joints in the body, right? Come on, church. Sometimes we got to break this thing down so we can see that that old devil is a liar. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him use you. Don't let him use your family. Don't let him use your children against you. Stay in the word. Do what it said. I don't care how you got to do it. Pray, ask the Lord, but do it. That's what he's saying. Jesus has set up a blueprint, an SOP. Some of y'all still working. You know you have a standard operating procedure when you go to work. You know what you do when you get in the office. You know when you know the order of things, how they go. This is designed in order that the church be equipped and cared for so as to provide all that God has called us to do for the equipping of the saints. Amen. Uh-huh. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you think we can operate haphazardly for the edifying of the body of Christ? Come on, church. And let me just repeat what I said last week, that surely there are those who have structured ministries out there aside from their local church. And God will use you for that. Uh-huh. We got some people here. Brother Johnny and Sister Yolanda are not here on a certain time because they are ministering in the prisons. But guess what? They've been doing that for I don't know how many years now. And the Lord ordained it. And he told us he ordained it. And he said, that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it is. See? Nothing, no schisms, no schisms. So the Lord said that, and that's what I'm talking about. He's going to let you know, assembling ourselves first and consistently supporting the same church, which they do and other people do, with the blessings of the leaders because they got it from God. See, that's how this thing works. That's how we know, okay? So also for those who go out and minister, this is another thing I'm going to tell you all. If you're going out to minister, you will have logged the proper amount of time in your home church under the watchful eyes of your leadership, okay, your pastors, leaders of the church. You may not even know they're watching you. You may not even know they're supervising you. But the Lord, I give the Lord a report, and he reports to me every time I leave this church on Sunday. I go to the Lord and say, what would you have me do? How did this work? Did I say the right thing? And I either get reprimanded or I get, that's fine. Keep doing what you're doing. And the Lord speaks. And this is now, whatever your situation is, I'm not going to get into your church. But I'm saying this is what the Bible has teaches this. So how many of you know that God has a particular assignment for you? He has particular assignments and particular expectations of particular churches. Okay? And these churches, in order to accomplish particular goals in that church. All right? That's the way it is. You don't believe me? Read Revelation chapter 2 and 3 in your spare time and see how Jesus rebuked the churches for not doing, and each one he has something that said, now you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this of the seven churches. Well, how many did it right?
Two.
That's right. Absolutely. Read your Bible. You'll see. We don't have time to go into that. Maybe sometime we will. But it had to be fulfilled his way. But how can the churches do it his way when they invest in their own interests? some people, even in opposition to God's appointed leadership of the church. Pastor, take us to Hebrews 13, chapter 17. Read that one for us. This is good. This is good meat. Do we need to know
Amen.
This?
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey those who rule over you.
Oh, people don't like that.
Okay, obey those.
Explain that. Go
ahead. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. See, people don't like that term, rule over you. And I want you to know that I'm the head of my household, but I'm not. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm the pastor here, the leader, but I'm not. Y'all feeling what I'm saying? Y'all know. You all been around me long enough. I want to make decisions, but I can't. Huh? It says obey those who rule over you. I got a ruler, you all. Jesus Christ. Amen. Even when things happen in my house that I said, look, wait. I'm boss. Except he the boss. So let's go to him. And I better do that. So that works for all of us. It's not a pastor trying to tell you what to do. Not this pastor, at least. The Lord is telling me what to tell you. I'm telling you what to do as I do it, okay? So this is how it works. I don't know how other people see this. You all who are tuning in, I don't know your situation. But that's what this means. Be submissive, not to me, to God, through me. That's what it is, because as I give the command, the commands are given by him. I can't. If you don't do it, guess what? My hands are clean. I gave the command as he told me to give it. You see? When Miriam and everybody argued with Moses and said, look, you're not the only one to hear from God. They're right. But he's the only one they put in that position. When Korah and the group stepped up to Moses and gave him a hard time, by the time Moses told Aaron to go put the censers out, the Lord has smoked 14,000 people in a matter of seconds through a plague because they didn't wrong Moses. They wronged the Lord. So we got to understand what this word is saying. You want to play with God in these days and times? We don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to do that. That's why I'm saying this is very important stuff, okay? If everyone fancied himself or herself or to have their own specific callings, which pull them from the church habitually without structure, okay? Without even giving notice to the pastors or even soliciting prayer. We watch out for your souls. When you're not here, we get concerned. We better ask. We're asking where. Do you know that you can call people? They won't even call you back. Leave messages and somebody else might come along and say, well, I heard from him. I said, oh, wow, good. You must be the pastor because they sure didn't tell us. Okay, you know. And then we just go to the Lord. He said, okay, just don't worry. I got it, okay? Do you see why it's imperative that we examine our investment portfolios? You got to know what you're putting in and why you're putting it in. Most times, you'll find that people will go out and they choose their own self-interest, their own missions, their own assignments instead of God's missions for them. Okay? This is what happens, all right? Remember also that the Lord will not assign you to a church and his pastor, and have you begin learning, then pull you out to begin ministering and teaching others what you haven't learned adequately. When you need to be taught and ministered to yourself. As it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't do confusing things like that. Send you out when you're not ready. Now, I know we got some excellent cooks in this church. Excellent, excellent. We got some excellent bakers up in hell. I don't know about you all watching, but Spirit of Truth Church worldwide, we got some bakers up in here. So tell me, my sisters, what happens, and Brother Terry too, what happens when you take a cake out of the oven too soon? It falls. Flat cake. Gummy cake. It falls, okay? That's right. And God's not going to send you out. He's not going to pull you out too soon. lest you do the same thing, which is to fall. Okay? Worse still, you might cause others to fall because you haven't gotten the teaching under your belt. See, because when you float from church to church, you pick up things that may or may not be of God. And then if it is for God, it may not be for you. Okay? For the assignment he has for you, you got to understand these things. But we can become so full of our own desires that we wind up finding it easy to neglect your home assignment. Does that make sense? People begin to occupy their time their own way because of their own interests, seeking their own personal investments. This is the gospel of Christ. And some people wind up so intent on achieving their own agendas that they breed dissension in the church. You got to understand, that's not their fault. That's the devil's fault. It's their fault for listening. It's their fault for not being in the word strong enough, but there's a demon that's doing it. That's what we have to understand. And that's why we can't take these things personal, but we do have to learn, and that's why the Lord is having us speak it. That's why he gave me this sermon, okay? See, we can be so fixed on having things operate our own way that we become rebellious in our behavior. And the devil knows that God hates rebellion. Now you've become rebellious. Guess what you think? Do you think you're going to be successful being rebellious to what the Lord told you? Come on, y'all. Let me give you an example in the Bible, where Paul is teaching about how to handle a particular type of sin. Pastor, take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's go to verses 5 to 11.
1 Corinthians 5, verses 5 to 11 says, deliver such a one to Satan.
We'll start there. Uh-huh.
Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Verse 6 says, your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Mm. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Mm-hmm. Verse 9 says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother.
A brother.
Who is sexually immoral
or
covetous
or
an idolater or reveler
violent,
or drunkard
or
an extortioner, mm-hmm. not even to eat with such a person.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's break this down a little bit while we can. We don't usually talk on this, but thank you, Pastor. What Paul is speaking of, just to get cut to the chase, he's speaking about disorder. He's speaking about disorder. Improper behavior in the church. Now, Paul happens to primarily address sexual immorality, but he also mentions a bevy of other ungodly things, doesn't he? Okay? He talks about idolaters, extortioners, drunkards, those who are covetous, those who are revilers. Okay? Sometimes people think that says revelers. Revilers, people that are just coming against the church, people that are talking behind the back. These are revilers. You see what I mean? He's talking about all these people. Now, Paul says we are not even to eat with the people. That's what he's talking about. Pay attention to what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said, don't even eat with them. He said, if you know people that are doing this, don't have any part of it. He says not to even keep company with them in verse 9. And in verse 5, he says they're going to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh if they keep it up. That's how important it is for God's house to be clean. Come on, church. That's what he's talking about. He says not to even keep company. He says they got to be delivered to Satan for the destruction of that flesh, meaning that disruptive, ungodly behavior, so that their spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on now. That's what it's saying, okay? Now, why is Paul so adamant about this? Well, I'll tell you why, church. Just as the Lord told me, early Wednesday morning, the Lord woke both of us up. Early Wednesday morning, he told me, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, what does that mean, Joel Jones? That's what he said to me. And I just woke up, and I had to think. And then he finished it for me. And this was before I was led to 1 Corinthians 5, which I never read. I don't know when the last time I read that one. Now, Paul, I see that Paul, as I get on this sermon, Paul states it as well. He's telling us, church, and he's telling us churches, okay? What he's telling us is that while ungodly behavior might be tolerated and accepted in the world and spread far and wide, guess what? We cannot and will not tolerate it in the church. That's what he's saying. Cannot, will not tolerate it in the church. You know why? Because it's allowed to linger. It's going to take root in the church, okay? It's going to be like mold in your soul in the church if we let it. And God says, root it out because it spreads to other people. It affects other people. When you start fanning the flames, when you let it go by, I don't care what it is. He's talking about blatant sin, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, pride, covetousness, or gossip, being battered around like a ping pong ball, that kind of thing. That's what he's talking about. If not corrected, it only serves to weaken, fracture the church. Fractures the health of the church. A little leaven, like a little mold or a little fungus, messes up the whole lump. We had some strawberries. I wanted them strawberries. Every time I looked in the refrigerator, I saw those strawberries, but it wasn't time to eat them. I waited too long. I saw what looked like gray hair growing on one strawberry. You know I didn't touch any of them, right? Because of the mold that was growing. So you see, church, it's absolutely necessary and mandatory that we, as so-called Christ followers, examine our investment portfolios. Are we truly investing in Christ? Are you conducting yourselves according to the instructions given in 1 Corinthians 5? Now, I've heard preaching, this is what I've heard. I've heard people mention things that go on in church, but they hold back. They know it's not good and it's sinful or it's ungodly or the conduct is being exhibited. I understand that because I'm an ex-cop. On the streets, nobody wants to be a snitch, right? No, I ain't gonna snitch nobody out. You get to the scene and you say, who ran over this dog? Everybody say, did you see it? I was out here, but I wasn't looking. Nobody will tell you what happened, so you have to do an investigation. That's how it is in the world. That's why when you see the bad breaking news, they say there's a $5,000 reward for anybody that'll give us information on who killed so-and-so. Nobody wants to snitch. See, that's how it is. Even though the thing was committed in broad daylight, right? I get it. But see, that's what happens in the world. This ain't the world. This is God's house, holy, consecrated by God. He's given us the commands. He's given us the word. He's told us what to do. See, that thing about letting sin fester, that's in Satan's world. This is God's world. This is the church. And the Lord has said, put it in my Bible that we don't keep company with that kind of stuff.
Praise God. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of this powerful series with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is good.